morning, everybody, and welcome to Game Changers on 101.5 UMFM.
On the radio.
We are on the radio, and we are online as well. You can check us out on umfm.com.
Wow.
That's a thing. And on this particular show, we talk about video games, because we collect video games, we play video games, we follow video game news. We buy video games, and we get video games for free, because that's what happens sometimes. And I'm Megan.
Oh, and I'm Alice.
So, we are still playing a lot of Ghost of Tsushima. It is still a lot of fun. It is,
I was gonna say, I think it's, here's the thing. It's way bigger than I thought it was.
That's true. Like,
in my mind, for some reason, I thought I was... You know, when I got to the end of Act 1, I knew there was three acts. I did know this. But I kind of was like, oh, that means I'm at the halfway point. You know, like, I'm halfway there. I'm at Act 2. Which, you know, technically, I don't know. That's not what that would mean. But I thought I was halfway done. And I was sort of also, like, last week, I was like, I hope it changes things up because I was getting bored. Right?
Right.
And it did. It absolutely did. It absolutely has kept me on my toes. And they introduced a new type of enemy, I would say. That's probably what it is. The Straw Hat.
The Straw Hat. The Ronin.
Like, I'm going to say, this is slight spoilers if you want to be spoiler free for Ghost of Tsushima story plot wise, because that's a little bit like, I will say, here's the spoiler. So I'm just giving you time to tap out. But you do get betrayed by your friend who is a Ronin and who runs the Straw Hats sort of thing, which is another sort of, they're another type of warrior. And you were like friends with him for a long time. It was the betrayal that I was like, they're never going to do that because that would be so like, that would be easy. And then they did do that. I will say it's a pretty good betrayal though, because I didn't see it coming even though I was like.
It's heart-wrenching.
A little bit. And the scene is really great because you get to fight him and it's sort of like in the moonlight and there's these lanterns and you're in a little thing of water.
It's very cinematic.
Oh it yeah. Is, this like, I think that's maybe why I enjoy this game, because they have really thought of the ways to make it cinematic. And I think they did that a lot for, like, Horizon Zero Dawn as well. Like, they thought of ways to make this beautiful in multiple ways, right? Not just the gameplay aspect, but...
They follow the rules of good storytelling. Like, in Horizon Zero Dawn and in Ghost of Tsushima, there is, like...
I don't want to say good... There's
entertaining storytelling.
Sure, yeah, there. Because I was like... There are things that I think are just sort of shocking or just sort of, like, you know, violent for violence sake a little bit in this game. Or just, like, there's a lot where, like, you go do a mission for somebody to find a family member and that family member is dead. And then you go tell them. Like, or that family member is alive and then you go to tell the person who went to send you, but then you find out that person who went to send you is now dead. Like, this has happened to me multiple times in this game, and I'm, like, not, you know, I'm just sort of, I get it, but at the same time, I'm, like, why?
Lots of hope spots still, but oh, there is a lot of downers in this game, but...
Yeah, but I was, so back to, it did change up, especially the combat. I'm gonna say it didn't change up maybe how I do things or how I go about it, other than that it's easier now because I've leveled up all my stuff, like my traveler's gear and all that, but the battle, the fighting has changed, and that's fun for me, because now I'm even going into so far as, like, I'm learning how to adequately, like, parry and dodge and counter, and this is a game where it sort of, it allows you to do that, it allows you to make mistakes quite a bit, which is nice, like, something, like, Dark Souls does allow you to make mistakes, but at a deeper consequence, whereas this is, like, you may mess up, or you're allowed to just sort of like, oh, nope, I can't hack this fight. I'm going to leave. And I've done that a lot where I mess up stuff and I'm just like, oh, well, I'll see you later, random spawned mob. You know, like, I'll see another one of you down the road. But
I'll rescue a future peasant. This peasant is on their own.
Sword peasant, yeah. But I would say the Ronin fights, they've added these duels, which are actually tied to a mission, which is cool. Because they are optional, of course. Like, I would say this is part of an optional side quest mission to get a power.
I didn't realize that was part of a mission. I just happened to stumble across one. I'm like, same. I guess this is what I'm doing
that's
now.
That's how you do it. That's how it happens. That's the first, that I would say how the game works or how the game sort of leads you through places. You would find one first before you found the guy who tells you about why they're there. And they're there, which is neat.
It keeps some surprise to it, too. You're like,
oh, yeah.
Oh, man, what am I doing here? And then some guy will be like, oh, yeah, you can do this, and you'll earn this super secret awesome thing.
Yeah, well, I was like, yeah. But you do get the mission to go do it. I would say even if you defeat the Straw Hat, like, without knowing the mission, you just know, you don't get any information. It's just sort of like, you're never going to beat this guy, who is, like, the main guy that you're going to beat to get the special move. But it's sort of like, these are little mini boss fights, and I like that. Like, they also give you a chance to practice against these Straw Hat Ronin-type enemies, which, and I would say the Mongol-type enemies as well, they've just gotten harder, right? That's sort of, they've just gotten more beefy sort of thing.
They've gotten better armor, better weapons.
And that's, you know, that makes sense. It's still good-looking game. Like, I'm just at a point where, you know, I want to do other things right now. I will finish it because it's fun and it's beautiful.
We have so many games in our library right now that we haven't even yet touched.
Yeah, one I'd rather finish, though. Yeah. This one is one that is, like, I am enjoying it enough and I'm interested enough and I'm having fun enough. But I think it's a game where I could pick it up easily again versus something like a Sekiro, which I think I would have to restart the game because I don't remember how to play, sort of thing.
Yeah.
Like, and I think where I'm at in my game, I would just, ooh, it would be bad. I'm at the monkey, the big monkey, and I don't know how to beat him anymore. Like, Or how to play that game for another thing. Anyway, this is a game where I feel like, yeah. And it also, once again, has a difficulty option. Like, I can lower the difficulty if I really feel. At one point, I was like, maybe I'm going to raise it. We'll see how it goes, if I need to, if I feel that need. But I'm still enjoying it. I'm having fun. I like looking for stuff a lot. Like,
That's probably the most satisfying thing, is finding all the little hidden nooks and crannies, because as much as this landscape looks not too different, there's enough in there, enough variation in there that it's like,
I also appreciate this because it's not just Dark Souls that does this, but I feel Dark Souls does it best, where it's like environmental storytelling or just has little bits of things. There will be like maybe dead bodies around that sort of indicate something happened at some point. And that's environmental storytelling. Like, you're telling me sort of what is happening visually rather than being like, yeah, those guys died over there in a fight, right? And it adds sort of a mystery to this world that, you know, stuff was here before, which Dark Souls does, like, amazingly. But this, and Dark Souls also does this, which is rewards you for your exploration. And that's the thing I like to explore in games. I like to check if there's something behind something or around something. And you're rewarded for this and this. And that's why, like, I am pretty highly leveled up in my armor because I seek out supplies and stuff. And I have most of my armor's maxed out at this time.
I've got a pretty good balance with my armor now going, too. But I need to find more predator skins. That's what I need.
I've gotten great at that as well. Like, it's a fun game. There's a lot to it.
And so Ghost of Tsushima is one of the top-selling games at this time.
Yeah.
And I ended up getting the second best-selling game at this current time as well.
What?
I went and got Paper Mario the Origami King.
Oh, yeah, that came out.
That came out on the 17th as well.
Can you please explain what Paper Mario is? Because I know that it exists, and I know that it's flat Mario. It's Paper Mario and the Thousand Year Door was the first one,
I believe there was one before that. But
okay.
The Thousand Year Door was the most
popular
of it.
At the time.
So Paper Mario is the spiritual successor to Mario RPG,
right.
Seven Stars, which is on the Super Nintendo.
Right.
And it came at the end of the Super Nintendo's lifespan. It is an excellent game. I highly recommend it if you like your RPGs. It was put out by Square Enix.
Yeah.
And
well, so is the Mario one, right?
That's the Mario one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, they brought out
Paper Mario.
They're all Mario. But Paper Mario took a lot of the mechanics and the ideas of Mario RPG and applied it to a very cute 2D RPG situation.
Okay.
So you have this 2D Mario who's got to navigate this RPG world fighting classic villains, but you also get party members. Uh-huh. So you get party members like Goombas, Koopas, Boos, Bowser becomes a party member at some point. Spoiler.
But these are all sort of like, they're named characters, are they not?
They are named characters.
Yeah, they're not like Koopa A and Koopa B.
No, your friends. You get a whole, they do get their own special backstories and names, yeah, and powers, and usually you're fighting a different bad guy other than Bowser. He's been usurped, he's been pushed to the side, he's grumpy about it, and he's like, you know what? The only person that gets to fight me is Mario, and I love
Bowser.
And I gotta go and protect Peach.
Yeah, I love Bowser.
So I can kidnap
him. Bowser's my favorite Mario character, hands down. So I love when Bowser gets to be not the villain and just help out and be a fun guy. Because that's what he is.
You get so much of a better personality out of Bowser with these games, which is great. Because he's nuanced. He's not just an evil bad guy for the sake of being an evil bad guy.
He's not just rawr.
He doesn't just...
a dinosaur.
He has goals, guys. He has a life outside of Mario, and he wants you to know this. He is a single parent raising a bunch of Koopalings to get... He's trying to make it in that hard world.
Yeah.
So, these are also very lightly humored games. Taro Kudo is the writer of most of these Paper Mario games, and I want to point this out because he is also the writer of Moon, Remix RPG Adventure, a cult hit that inspired Undertale.
Yeah, we were talking about Moon.
Yes.
You can play it on, I believe you can get a Japanese copy for the Switch. And but
the English version is coming out later on this month.
Oh, wow. That's very exciting. I was looking at it and I was like, this is a game, like we were watching a playthrough of it. And I'm like, for someone who did understand Japanese, so there was a translation, but, you know, I was like, I wish I could play this game because it looks so interesting. And it's just something that I'd rather play. I'm very excited about that. I didn't know.
Okay. So I only found this out, too, just before we started recording, and I decided to save it as a bit of a surprise, that he is the same writer for the Paper Mario series. So he did the writing for Paper Mario Sticker Star, Color Splash, RPG. No, he worked as a designer on Super Mario RPG. But he did do the writing for the other Paper Marios. So, his sense of humor, this very weird, offbeat sense of humor, translates very well into the Mario RPG series. Now, this game is very cute. It reminds me very much of the Yoshi's Woolly World game, where you got a whole bunch of paper and paper crafts. It's it's just such a clean-looking game. And the gameplay is... It is an RPG, but there's a lot of jumping and exploring, trying to fix this broken-up world that has holes in its paper veneer.
Okay.
And the battles that you go into, they've changed this up from previous editions, where it would be a fairly straightforward RPG battle. This one, you actually have to solve a bit of a puzzle before you can get into the actual combat. It can be a bit tedious when you're just trying to get to the end of a level, but for the most part, it is pretty fun where you have to rotate these rings or slide the enemies in a line before you can attack them successfully.
Okay. Yeah, there's like a puzzle aspect you're showing me.
Yeah. So after a while, when you're just trying to get to the end and you keep getting bombarded by enemies, it can be a bit of a drag, but it's not that hard to get through the battles. It's not a very difficult to pick up game. I am having a lot of fun. I'm excited to keep playing this game as well when I'm getting tired of Tsushima. Well, I'm never going to get tired of Tsushima.
Yeah, Ghost of Tsushima is a very fun game.
And when I've had to put Paper Mario down, they finally came out with Donkey Kong Country for the Super Nintendo on the Switch, so I've been also dipping my toes into that again. Even though we have the original
all
physical
of the Donkey Kongs. I'm just not a Donkey Kong. Well, like, I like Donkey Kong as a concept, I guess. I like him as a really terrible, early 2000s, 90s animated 3D show. I like that.
Oh, right.
Yeah, no, I'm bringing that. And I really like Donkey Kong 64, but, like, parts of it I didn't like. Like, I have good, very fond memories, but then, like, I'm like, but then at a certain point, it just all turned sour. Ugh, it went on too long, and it knows it did. But yeah, how is Donkey Kong? Have you played it on the Switch?
As soon as I remembered that it came out
on the
Switch.
It was a real thing?
It was a real thing. Once I got internet connection on there, I completed the first world, and then had to put it down because I had to go to bed at some point this weekend.
It's understandable.
So, yeah. We are getting ready for the free games for our PlayStation, and, we are also going to be playing Fall Guys.
Yeah, I've been watching friends play Fall Guys, actually. I think it's based off of, I want to say it's probably based most after, Takeshi's Castle, which is a Japanese game show from, I want to say it was maybe filmed in either the 80s or the 90s, but somewhere where they didn't have a lot of, like, regulations for, like, letting people do things to their bodies that were not good. Because it was like, one of the more memorable ones is, like, you run into this wall, and you have to try and hope that the door that you go through isn't solid wood, right? And that was the thing... And now we have Fall Guys, but which is the exact same, basically, but it's video game.
And it was brought to North America as Most Extreme Elimination Challenge,
if you remember it. Well, and it was, I would say, it was probably ruined a little bit. Like,
the dubbing was very weird. They tried to make it a lot funnier than it already was.
They tried to Americanize it.
There you go.
Like, that is what they tried to do. And I guess they did, because that's probably what people know it better as than Takeshi's Castle, which is what it is, actually. But anyways, it's just sort of a game show. And it follows the same one. Fall Guys follows the same thing, where it's, if you don't get past a certain point at a certain time, or you're in the bottom amount of people, you get eliminated. I think the max is 60 people per game. There's a variety of levels. There's sort of like a soccer level. Some of this also reminds me of the TV show Wipeout.
Yeah.
Where it's like there's the spinning thing that goes around and you have to jump over it, and maybe it gets a little taller each time or higher, right? There's sort of games where you have to just, it's a gauntlet sort of, right? You just have to run, and then there's another 59 people also. So
we're going to be checking that out. It's on Steam, and it is free on PlayStation 4 right now. They're hoping to have some cross-platform later on, but this is still kind of in the testing stages, so.
Yeah, like, to be honest, from what I saw from people playing it, there are some glitches, but not, like, there's not a whole lot. It's pretty solid, like, especially in terms of, like, the fact that, you know, it's a 60-person game sort of thing. And there's cute little things that they add, you know, every time you get some more little outfits. I think if you pre-order it for Steam, you get the Valve, not Valve, you get the head crab, you know.
Yeah,
like, you get your Half-Life stuff, maybe your Gorgon Morgan outfit. I'm not 100% on that, but you do get the head crab hat. I know that. It looks fun. You're sort of these weird little, I don't know. Marshmallow guys?
I've heard people compare them to Minions.
Oh! That's kind of funny. I would love to see somebody that stylized their little guy like a Minion. Like, here's the thing. I don't hate Minions. I find them kind of, like, amusing. I don't absolutely, like, I don't hate them nor adore them. Like, I'm okay with Minions. Please get, like, I know I have to say this because someone will be like, oh my god, what? You like Minions? And I'm like, they're fine. They don't hurt me the way that they hurt other people.
They're everywhere on the
I
book
find
of
them
faces.
Amusing. I find them amusing. Like, I find that people hit that they... Anyways, I digress about Minions.
So, yes, those have been the games that we've been playing and been looking forward to. I'm so excited to try this Moon Remix RPG.
Yes.
It's supposed to be really weird and off the wall.
I'm very excited. It also has similarities in my sort of a little bit visually to Petscop, which I feel we've talked about a little bit before But Petscop is like, and it ended, like, it ended back in September, which was fine. I'm a little sad about that. But Petscop was a let's play that somebody had made of a game that nobody's ever played. And it was brilliant. It was, all made up, which is a little like, you had to know at some point it's not real because the story they're telling is fairly serious or what you can gather. But it's more like, I never wanted it to end. Like, that's what I'm like, oh, it's over. And it wasn't real. Oh, that's fine. But I just wanted more. And
would it
be just
considered an ARG?
A little bit. I think, which is like a alternate reality game, is that what we're talking about?
Yes.
Or, yeah. Which is where sort of there can be like audience participation sort of thing. That's what I feel that ARGs often have.
Yeah.
I don't think Petscop had that much. It did have a very active community that was trying to figure out the story, but I don't think it had influence on the game, is sort of what I'm trying to get at. Like, I feel that the person who made it had sort of knew what they were doing, and maybe didn't know technically how to get it done as fast as maybe they wanted, or, you know, just life gets in the way and you got to do other stuff. But I would highly recommend Petscop if you like horror games. It is not that spooky. Like, it's not jump scare. It's more, it is a little akin to Silent Hill in the way that they handle, like, subject matter and metaphors. And even, I found it, the tone and even some of the music, I'll say, is a little, it reminds me of that. Graphically, it looks like a cutesy
PlayStation 1 era?
Yeah, a PlayStation 1 era game that I would say has, like, Japanese-inspired graphics, like, that sort of cutesy style of that era, like, of the 90s era. But it's, yeah, it's not. It's made in, you know, something else. But it's very, it's wonderful.
It's a beautifully done fake game.
It's so cool. And once again, the sort of the draw is the fact that it's somebody playing this game. Like, I would say the graphics and the gameplay alone is interesting for Petscop, but it's also, it does have to do with the person who's playing the game and is sort of, like, live, let's playing this Petscop game, you know, for, yeah, which is cool. But not for us, like, because it was, if you've watched it, it's never for us, the audience, that this person was live or was making these videos, which is interesting, once again. But yeah, it's cool. I highly recommend it. I was very obsessed with it for a very long time. Like, I'm like, now talking about it, I'm like, I should go back and watch Petscop. That was great.
Probably for a future episode idea that we should consider looking at other fake games.
Yeah. Like, here's the thing. I don't know of a lot of ones. Like, there are probably several. But Petscop was one that I was just like, it was brilliant. It was made for people. Like, I love Let's Plays. I love them. Like, you don't know how many people, I've watched so many people play video games because I love video games and sometimes I can't play them myself, right?
And we don't always have access to the games that these people have.
Yeah. But so there's that. But I also just enjoy, I enjoy that. I enjoy sometimes, most of the time, I enjoy other people's commentary or their interpretations of the game. Unless they're just so wrong and then I'm just like, no, you're just, no. But, you know. And this, so I do like this, is it's someone exploring the game, you know, for the first time. And you're there watching that. And it's all fake. But it's really cool.
If you're looking for a very neat idea, a very neat concept, yeah, 100% go and check this out. Because I was watching it with you when I'd come home from work.
And I feel it's only about, like, I want to say 2 to 3 hours in total. Like, that's the amount of content that was released. I feel there's about 20-something episodes or parts, which is fine. But once again, I would have loved more. I am very happy with what I got, though. Like, it's fantastic and super interesting.
So a couple weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks, 4 weeks ago, I kickstarted a game called Validate. Yeah. And it has now reached its fourth tier. So we are officially getting Validate next year to play. It's we're striving towards that fishing minigame. They got one more tier to go. So we've already hit downloadable content and that good CG art. And they have an extra downloadable character in the future as well. So, Validate. It is still on Kickstarter if you want to go and check it out. It's going to be a lot of fun, I think. It still looks very, very endearing. I'm very excited for a future game.
Yeah, it's nice that it got kickstarted. Like, I, once again, when we were talking about it, you were telling me that I was like, oh yeah, it's going to, because it was very close and it was maybe a couple days in. Like, so I was like, it's going to do it, which, you know, you always appreciate that at least that's going to happen, because I worry. But, yeah.
Yeah, because not every project out there gets that level of support. It's,
No. And this one looks really cute. One of the things is they might add a fishing game.
That is their final tier. They are about halfway there. I think over halfway now. So, come on. Come on, Validate. We want that fishing game in our dating sim.
Yeah. Yeah. I like fishing game.
Fishing. Yeah.
It's fine.
So, yeah, those have been pretty much the games that we've been playing lately and what we've been obsessed with. We've had, I feel like I've had long weekend time to play a lot of this stuff. Do you have any games to play in the future to recommend?
Only Ghost of Tsushima, Megan. I'm only going to play that game until I finish it. No, I would, like, the other one I'm really interested in starting is Control. I've heard great things about it, especially if you're interested in, like, SCPs, which, if you don't know what that is, I don't remember. It's like something secure, contain, protect? I believe that's what it stands for. And they're sort of like creepy monsters that the internet made up.
There's been a lot of SCP games that have been put out there.
Yeah, I would say this isn't that because I think there's probably copyright issues with that to an extent. But this is based off of those. And I find those very interesting. So, after I finish Ghost of Tsushima, I'm gonna play Control. Like, that's the next big game I'm gonna play. If I fit in some other things, like, I wanna replay, you know, Sayonara Wild Hearts again and stuff. Well, there's some games that I'm just like, I wanna replay these fun games for my brain, because they were fun.
Well, now that we know that Sayonara Wild Hearts has a physical copy.
Oh, yeah, which I want, yeah.
And we also picked up Wadum as a physical copy.
Yeah, I would say if you were hesitant about getting the physical copy of Wadum, you should definitely get it. It comes with, I freaked out a little bit, like, because it came with the thickest instruction manual I've ever seen in, like, 4 years from a new game, at least. No, more than that. Like, longer.
Why don't they give us the instruction manuals anymore?
They don't. They really don't, right? And it's beautiful. It's actually a little storybook. If you enjoyed Wadum as much as me, I would highly recommend getting a physical copy. Just because, like, it was worth it for that book alone, which is, like, it's kind of sad that that's such a treasure now in physical copies of video games. But the books of video games were something that I loved. That was the coolest thing. You could write notes in the back, put all your cheat codes in there.
Sometimes they even have specific sheets for cheat codes.
It was beautiful. It was, yeah, there's a lot of nostalgia, I guess, to it. But also the fact that it's a storybook that also explains the game and how to play it. And I love that.
So it's pretty excellent.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's everything we got for you for this week. We got to go back to playing Tsushima and Paper Mario because that's what our life is all about right now.
It's true.
And yeah, we'll come back to you next week with more news and more stuff about video games. Keep changing.
Have a good one.